Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the KP Green Engineering Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Share India Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephones. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Patel from Share India Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. I would like to congratulate management on a very good set of numbers of KP Green Engineering. On behalf of Share India Securities, I welcome you all to H2 FY26 earnings conference call of KP Green Engineering. We are pleased to have with us the management team represented by Mr. Mohinul Kharbha, the Whole Time Director, Dr. Alok Das, Group CEO, Mr. Ashfaque Khan, Chief Accounts Officer, Mr. Salim Yahoo, Group CFO. We will have the opening remarks from the management and followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Vinod.
Okay. Thank you, Harsh. Good morning, everyone. This is Vinod Jain from Investor Relations Department. On behalf of management, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all the investors, analysts, and other stakeholders for joining us today for earnings call for quarter four and FY25-26 for KP Green Engineering. Joining on the call are Whole Time Director, Group CEO, Group CFO, and Chief Accounts Officer. Please note that our Whole Time Director, Mr. Mohinul Kharbha, is joining from China, so there might be some disturbance. Please bear with us. FY25-26 has been a transformational year for the company, marked by strong execution, capacity expansion, and significant financial growth. Our revenue grew by 78% to 1,250 crore, EBITDA by 117% to 249 crore, and PAT by 85% to 136 crore. Further, order books remain strong at approximately 1,831 crore as on 31st March 2026, providing healthy revenue visibility going forward. The company continues to strengthen its manufacturing ecosystem with commissioning of Asia's largest hot-dip galvanizing plant at Mathur. During the year, the company also received one of the prestigious certifications for road gas barriers from Netrex. The company remains committed towards sustainable manufacturing, safety excellence, and technology-led operation, aligning itself with India's long-term renewable and infrastructure growth story. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Whole Time Director, Mr. Mohinul Kharbha. Over to Mr. Mohinul Kharbha.
Thank you, Vinod Ji. Good morning to all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders. It gives me immense pleasure to address you today at a time when KP Green Engineering Limited is transforming rapidly into a diversified engineering powerhouse. Over the year, we made several commitments to our investors regarding expansion, diversification, approval, and execution capability. Today, I am proud to say we are delivering close to those commitments. At KPGEL, every product vertical is not just a product. It is an independent industry with its own ecosystem, approval, execution cycle, and market opportunity. In this business, production alone is not enough. The real growth comes when your products are accepted and approved by state utility, PSU, national authority, private companies, and global organizations. I am pleased to share that we have achieved significant progress across most verticals and continue to aggressively expand our reach. Our transmission line tower vertical is now approved and active across 16+ states in India, while our pole and lightning structure division is rapidly expanding with approvals from multiple state authorities and municipal corporations. In the solar structure vertical, we are proudly associated with almost all major renewable energy executing organizations in India and are also approved by global tracker leaders Nextracker and Gamechanger Solar. In heavy engineering, operations are progressing strongly, and with the successful achievement of RDSO approval, we are now strategically positioned for larger railway and infrastructure opportunities. In the pre-engineering building segment, our in-house design, engineering, and project team have successfully executed two major industrial factories: one transformer manufacturing facility and one solar module manufacturing factory. showcasing our end-to-end execution capability. Another proud achievement has been becoming the first company in India to successfully complete all three crash tests, car, bus, truck, for both double-beam and tri-beam crash barriers in the very first attempt itself. One of the biggest milestones for the company has been operationalized Asia's largest galvanizing plant with capacity of 90,000 metric tons per annum and with a single dip capacity of 15 metric tons. This is major competitive advantage that will significantly improve our execution speed, quality, and production efficiency. The company is also strategically focused on strengthening its business through backward integration in manufacturing capability and forward integration in execution business. This forward integration strategy is already visible through our direct participant in railway crash barrier project and large-scale BSNL telecom project, enabling us to move higher into the value chain. Further, our in-house R&D and engineering team is continuously working toward expansion into new verticals, including onshore tubular tower, container manufacturing, magnet fastener manufacturing, rolling mill, cable and conductor manufacturing, and several other engineering products. We remain committed to continuously expanding our product portfolio and strengthening our integrated manufacturing ecosystem. On the business front, we have secured confirmed order worth more than 1,860 crore, including a landmark 819+ crore BSNL order, marking our strategic re-entry into the telecommunication sector with long-term annuity income visibly through O&M service. Today, with expanding capacity, diversified vertical, strong approval, and robust order visibility, KP Green Engineering Limited is strongly positioned for sustained long-term growth. I would like to sincerely thank our respected CMD, sir, Dr. Farooq Patel, sir, along with all our investors, stakeholders, customers, bankers, suppliers, partners, and every member of Team KPGL for their continuous trust and support. The foundation is strong, the execution is visible, and the future opportunities are enormous. We remain fully committed toward creating sustainable growth and long-term shareholder value. Thank you very much.
So over to Mr. Salim Yao, who give the overview on the financial performance of the company.
Thank you, Mr. Jay.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, esteemed investors, analysts, stakeholders, participants joining us today for the KP Green Engineering earning call for the half year H2 and for the full year FY26. On behalf of the company, I, Salim Yahoo, Group CFO, take immense pleasure to present the financial and operational highlights for H2 and FY26, along with the insight into our strategic direction and growth trajectory going forward. Over the past 5 years, the company has scaled its business and continued its growth momentum. During this period, our compounded annual growth has been remarkable, with 100% CAGR in the revenue and 136% CAGR in net profit, adding consistently to shareholders' value. Speaking about the financial performance, the second half of FY26 and full current financial year has seen another landmark achievement for KP Green Engineering. The team has once again delivered record-breaking all-time high performance in financial parameters like revenue, profitability, EPS, and other parameters. Our strong, resilient business model, supported by focused execution strategy, continue to drive the consistent growth. For FY26 full year, our total income stood at ₹1,250 crores as compared to 702 crores in FY25, registering a growth of 78% year-on-year. This is first time that the company has crossed four-digit mark in the income from operations. Earning before interest, tax and depreciation increased to ₹249 crore as compared to 115 crore in FY25, reflecting a strong growth of 117%. EBITDA margin also expanded from 16% last year to 20% during the current year. Profit after tax stood at ₹136 crore as compared to 73 crores in FY25, registering growth of 85% YOY. For H2 FY26, our consolidated total income stood at 714 crore, marking an impressive 64% year-on-year growth compared to 436 crore in H2 FY25. Our EBITDA grew at 108%, reaching 147 crore, while our profit after tax surged 68% year-on-year to 77 crore, backed by a strong operational efficiency and economies of scale that continue to enhance our margins. Speaking about the business overview, on the operation front, our current manufacturing capacity has now reached 4,500 metric ton per annum. The company's robust order book stands at 1,800 plus for FY26. During the year, we have been empaneled with major PSUs ranging from power transmission, telecommunication, roads, highways, public infrastructure, and railways. This shows our diversification in the various sectors that we serve. The company has a steady expansion in domestic market presence with increased activity in a number of states during the same period. So to conclude, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to our CMD sir, Dr. Farooq sir, for his guidance and motivation as always, and also to all our investors, shareholders, employees and partners for their continued trust and confidence in the company and assured to maintain the growth trajectory in the coming years. I now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on the touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to please use only handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Surya from CFM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand what is the unexecuted order book as of now. Like, there was another 500 crores order which you received recently. So like, it is 1800 plus 500, right?
So this is total including this 500 crore orders also, 1800 as well.
Okay, understood. And what is the execution time frame for the same?
Yes, this entire FY26-27. This year, we'll be executing the entire order.
Got it, got it. So, can we expect a 100% growth this year compared to last year?
See, I will not commit on anything, but I mean, what we have committed last time, we have given more than that. So, this year also, I hope that we'll be able to fulfill your expectation this time also.
Understood. And I wanted to understand, when is the second phase of CAPEX? What is the planning for the second phase of CAPEX? Because as of FY27, if we consider 50 to 60% growth as well, it will be a huge revenue. Then FY28, I think almost maximum utilization will be there for the current capacity. So when is the next phase of CAPEX starting and what is the planning for that?
So frankly speaking, we will be continuing the CAPEX during the year, for which the fruits will be visible in the next year. And it takes a little bit gestation time, so the next phase operational activity will happen in FY27. Most of the CAPEX will be a backward integration to further improve our margins, and availability of materials will help us for that. So if you see, maybe rolling mills or something, which will be our from cell kind of a thing, that's major CAPEX that will be going.
Okay, okay, understood. Thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Firstly, thanks for the opportunity. Secondly, lots of congratulations to the entire team for fantastic results. I think it's great to see 100% CAGR for the last 5 years on all four financial key parameters. So big congratulations for that. My quick questions are one is on you mentioned 4 lakh MTPA capacity. So what is the capacity utilization we had in FY26 and what is the outlook for FY27? Second, I think you answered that recently, but I'm just re-clarifying. You mentioned that 1800 odd crore order book is likely to get completed all in FY27. Is my understanding right? And the last question is, we achieved a bit of margin of around 20-odd% in FY26. What is the guidance we have for FY27? Thank you.
Okay. I'll answer your first question with the capacity utilization. So out of the 4,500 and plus metric ton, that the entire capacity, this year the utilization was 1,24,500 metric tons. Fine. So what was your second question was about?
Within this, what is the guidance we have for FY27?
So FY27, I mean, see, we have the capacity in hand. So I don't think, you know, but growth trajectory we have already given that, you know, 40%-50% year-on-year growth in all the KP Group companies, we have given it. Our CMD sir has given that vision. So we are looking towards that. That is the minimum that will be, and the maximum is no limit. I mean, if we are able to utilize the capacity, we'll be able to do the your expectation, which is way beyond that 40%-50%.
Okay, great. My second question was more of a confirmatory one, which I believe you answered that. 1,800-odd crore book is likely to get completed all in FY27. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay. And then last question was about the EBITDA margins. In FY26, we achieved 20%. So what is the guidance we have for FY27?
See, EBITDA margin is somewhere depend upon a lot of other factors also, you know, material prices. Though we try to hedge them, we try to have the clauses in our, you know, agreement. But this margin, we'll try to maintain this margin. We'll try to maintain in the range of 16%-20%. We'll try, we always see to it that whenever we take any, you know, orders or anything, we have focus on the margins. We don't want to compromise on the margins.
Okay, thank you. And any impact we have seen from this Middle East crisis, whatever we are going at currently?
Yes. See, the impact on the fuel is there because, you know, manufacturing requires a lot of fuel, which is coal, which is gas.
Yes.
There is a galvanizing plant and also there is an impact. But this year, you know, we can say fortunately, we are, we're able to pull the thing. Next year also, we are trying to see that, you know, if it is a major disruption in the geopolitical condition, then we might. But also to highlight over here that we are powering our galvanizing plant along with LPG, we are powering with green hydrogen, which is one of its kind. So that will also help us because it gives more power. So we are trying to see that how we can maneuver between the geopolitical hurdles and achieve our targets which we have committed.
Okay, thank you, and congrats again, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sparsh Akkar from Eikamya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, you're audible.
Yes, congratulations on the great numbers. So I have a list of two, three questions, you know, that I would like to go ahead with. The first one is with respect to the inventory days, right? They have increased sharply from around 96 days to 195 days, as per some data reports. So I wanted to understand that what exactly drove this increase, and how should we think about normalized working capital and inventory levels going ahead?
If you see, the total order book that I have is 1,800, and we are getting further more orders. So when we have such a big order book, my inventory, you know, compared to that order book, is not substantial. So we need to have this in hand. Because of the geopolitical conditions, we need to stock up, pile up the inventory so that we don't have impact on the margins, we don't have impact on the availability of the raw material, and that's the reason we have stock up inventory this time. That's why you are seeing the inventory days going a little high.
Understood. So it's like a hedging strategy, you can say.
Yes.
You know, basically back up for.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it.
It's a hedging strategy towards the pricing and also towards the availability, because once the condition goes, yeah.
Understood. Now, the next question is with regards to cash and cash equivalents. I saw that they've declined significantly from 162 crore to 19 crore. Just wanted to understand that where was this cash actually deployed, and how can we expect the operating cash flows to improve meaningfully? Because I also saw that the debt increased as well in the current year, you know, the past one. So just wanted to understand the deployment of cash.
Yeah. So if you see, you know, there is a classification which has happened on the balance sheet. So there are other financial assets which have been added on the asset sides and also on the assets. So those are the cash and cash equivalent have been bifurcated into other financial assets, and long term have been put into the financial assets. That's why it has just gone from up to the fixed asset kind of a thing, as per the Ind AS calculation.
Okay, okay. Got it. So this is majorly the, you know, the book calculation.
Yes.
Okay.
Classification.
Okay.
The classification, I think.
Classification, okay. And the last question from my end is that any concrete updates on the company's defense entry plans? I'd heard that, you know, the company had plans to enter into the defense sector, basically manufacturing for the defense. So any, you know, updates on that?
We have been, I mean, I cannot disclose all the things, but we have been, you know, trying to get into this defense sectors. We are looking at various tenders. We are looking at various regions where this, you know, process. So as soon as something comes in, we'll surely disclose it on the BSE and NSE. But at present, I mean, we are at a discussion stages at various, you know, in various tenders and various orders.
Understood. Understood. And you just mentioned something about green hydrogen powering the galvanization plant. I just wanted an idea, how much does it power right now, and what is the stage, you know, what is the scale of expansion for green hydrogen powering the plant?
As per the regulations, we can blend 20%-25% green hydrogen into the LPG. So we are following that rules. And what happens is that it reduces the cost to a small extent only, but it is a uniqueness that, you know, that give us, you know, that utilization of green hydrogen. It, you know, it to some extent, it helps me on the ESG compliances also, that I'm utilizing green hydrogen. So, and it also, you know, gives me a, you know, a little bit, you know, it's a upper hand compared to all the competitor, because this is one of its kind. No other company has utilized, you know, green hydrogen for powering the galvanizing plant, and we are doing. And as you are aware that, you know, green hydrogen has more power compared to other gases, and galvanizing plant requires a lot of heat for, so it will help me getting the work done faster. That is also a part.
Understood. Understood. Thank you so much for your time and answering the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you said around 1,800 crore is the order book that we have. Can you also share what kind of orders do we expect in FY 2027, and what's our bidding pipeline looking like currently?
Yeah, as I had told in my opening remark also, you know, we are into various segments. We are into telecommunication, we are into power and transmission, we are into highways, public infrastructure, and railways. So, you know, the company's, what we say, the profile or the product profile has been diversified substantially. So we bid for all kind of tenders wherever it is available. You need to understand that, you know, our company has a uniqueness that we have Asia's biggest galvanizing plant. We have biggest facility that we can execute all bigger heavy engineering kind of work. So that's the reason, you know, if you see, we might get orders from all the bigger clientele, like we also have, you know, order from Chennai Metro, where we have built the rail, you know, metro bridge also. So be assured that, you know, we'll have from different, and it is a very plus point of the company that if any sector has any problem, we can shift to other sectors, and that is one of the plus point of the company. At present, what we have in 1,800, their biggest order is the BSNL, you know, telecommunication towers, which is all across India we're supplying. So they might, it might come from road, it might come from highways, it might come from public infrastructure, it might come from renewable energies, power and transmission companies also.
Sir, any ballpark figures you can say, I mean, how much we have bidded or what the bidding pipeline looking like?
See, the bidding pipeline might go above 3,000 crore also. Now, it is only depending upon the success ratio that we might see or the pricing at which the bidding closes, because we don't want to compromise on our margins also. So we are comfortable. At present, we have the entire full years also, and we can push the other orders also. Not an issue.
Got it. Sir, on the new products line, you know, you mentioned probably venturing into rolling mill and cables and wires and other products. So if you can throw some more light on what new products we are looking at. And secondly, on that front, what would be the product mix? Currently, we are more of solar vertical heavy compared to other products. So what that ratio would look like?
See, speaking about the new product, let me first say that the rolling mill will be a kind of a backward integration. It will also be a little bit raw material for my other products, okay? But we are moving into a lot of other products. If you have seen our quarterly presentations or the half-yearly presentation, we are getting into container manufacturing, we are getting into aluminum extrusions, onshore tubular towers, fasteners, then offshore tubular towers, and cables and conductors. So we are getting into all these different products also at the same time. And the component or the proportion you can see, they depend upon, sorry, let me complete. The proportion of, you know, the ratio of different products or the mix that is depend upon the order book. So it might be, you know, this year, if I am doing 800 crore of BSNL telecommunication tower, so my telecommunication tower component will be higher. in this year. Next year, I mean, depending upon the way we get the order book, because we have diversified into different products, so the mix is something which we can tell once we get the orders in hand.
And so the group company exposure would be what much? How much going ahead this year?
This year, out of 1,800 crores, 20 to 25% is only group company. Rest all is outside.
Even going ahead, this ratio would be relatively lower compared to what we had this year and earlier years.
See, consciously, we keep it lower only, but sometimes what happens, the group company requirement are urgent. So at that time, we have to change this mix for the time period. But believe me, whenever we change this thing, there is an enough order, other outside orders also. But to accommodate the group company's requirement, as they have projects or CODs which are lined up, for that purpose, we might keep on changing the mix.
And my last question is...
Hello, that's I think...
So my last question is... My last question is on the royalty front. So are we kind of continuing to charge 2% royalty?
Yes, I mean, see, if you look at the SEBI has given guidance for 5% of royalty as per SEBI guidelines, but we are only giving 2%. And believe me, there is no, intra-company which is reduced from this royalty portion, the top line. So any intra-company, everything has reduced from this, and the top line is only taken, which is pure, top line which has been done by the company. That is taken into consideration, and which is only 2% of the top line of all the companies.
Sir, I understand.
Let me explain also that this royalty is not something which is about. If you see lot of expenses, branding expenses for the KP Group brand are directly done by Dr. Farooq Patel. So just like if you have seen Delhi Capital and all these expenses are directly billed to the promoter. So promoter does these expenses, whatever payment he gets, he does expenses and everything for the creating the brand, for creating value into the brand is being done directly by the promoter. And that's the reason if you see it is justifiable that the royalty goes towards so that he can, further build the brand.
Sir, I got your point. So from an investor point of view, that's one of the major kind of, drawback if you look at, you can do all the branding internally through the company, that can be obviously worked out rather than taking royalties from all the companies. I mean, on 2% that's okay, but on absolute number that would be like tomorrow we do 3,000 crores.
There are a lot of other companies, big listed companies, these have taken loyalty. They are some are taking 5%, they are taking. So anything that is built over a period of time, you need to have, a lot of expenses that needs to be catered to. Which, if I keep
most
on building
of,
to
sir,
the company.
Sorry, sir, but most of them are B2C companies, what you're talking about.
Yeah, but how can you build? See, the brand is in the name of Dr. Farooq Patel. He is the owner of the brand. He has created the brand. I cannot do the expenses for that brand in the companies, no? How it will look on my book that I am building the brand which is owned by somebody. So it has to go through that route only.
Got it. No point, sir. This was just one point I wanted to make.
It's good you ask. It helped me to give clarification to all the stakeholders that any expenses that is done for royalty, it is towards the building the brand further strong, strengthening the brand. And for that purpose, this royalty is one of the factors. And since it is owned by Dr. Farooq Patel, it is, the expenses has to go through his books only. It cannot go through the books of the company.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for the clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj from Punyavarta Capital Ventures. Please go ahead.
Mohit bhai, good morning. Congratulations for the excellent result.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, I want to ask two, three questions. Now, I have seen that we are going into cable and conductor sector. It's for KP Group only or we are going to cater revenue from other
Hello. I couldn't understand your question because of... operator, can you mute others so that
yes,
we can...
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. Can you repeat the question? Yeah.
Yeah. Now we are going into cable and conductor sector. Okay. What drives you to go into that sector? And what's our revenue generation target from that sector, okay? And we are going into cable and conductor just to cater the KP group only, or we are expecting some revenue from other client also?
See, first of all, any business that I start, it is not with the mindset that I want to cater to. See, KP Green Engineering is a standalone company. There is no cross-holding. It is owned by the promoter. It is a separate company. In fact, it was the first company which Dr. Farooq sir started his, you know, entrepreneurship. So anything that is, we start as a product, it is looked at the broader picture where the, how the big the industry is. We do a study that what are the requirement industry, and then we look at our capability, that are we capable of executing this, and if it is related to any of the product that we do. So for example, cable, conductors, it is related to renewable energy, it is related to power and transmission companies, it is related to a lot of factors. So from that point of view, it is not that, you know, we keep in mind that group company needs this and we are manufacturing. So that is clear. Secondly, cable and conductor, if you look at, as I told you, these are you know, the same industry is requiring, like power and transmission company requires cable and conductor. So I want to get into similar kind of products which are there, and it has the same, I mean, if you look at cables, conductors, somewhere, you know, it's a manufacturing capability, what they require is what we have at present also. So to increase our product line helps us to diversify, it helps us to, you know, mitigate the risk of that if any industry goes down, how will I survive? So all those factors are taken into consideration, a deep study is done, and only after that we get into new products.
All right. So this cable and conductor expansion is not only for our backward integration, but
we are expecting
some revenue out of it.
Yes, it will be. First idea is to get a revenue out of it, and also if it is required by the group companies, we'll supply it.
Okay. And now second question is that now KPGL and overall KP group are expanding aggressively. So what's our revenue target for KPGL in 2030, you can say?
2030, see, our Honorable CMD sir has already given 40-50% growth year on year till 2030.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we have grown substantially. Okay, almost 100% year we have grown, I mean, close to that. So year on year, we will grow with a minimum target of 40-50% till 2030. If we are capable, we'll do more also.
All right. And what's the order book in pipeline for KPGL right now, apart from this 1860 current order book?
1860 current order book that we have, no? And other things are in pipeline where the orders are not confirmed. But as I told you, there's more than 2,000-3,000 crore of pipeline where we are at discussion stages, various discussions.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Panda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. My question is regarding like KPGL, the top line which was reported, the H1 was comparatively better year on year. Then the H2. So was there a problem like utilization problem or the war impact because of which it happened? And like what is the company's plan to, you know, future plans to expand the utilization? Like, is there any plans for that?
See, there has been impact, as I told earlier in my answer, that, you know, there has been fuel impact which we have to, you know, cater for this. But if you look at, you know, the overall growth for H2 is also substantial. It's not that it is there. But sometimes what happens, you know, the order book that we are executing, some are at various stages, and we are able to bill only in the second quarter. Sometimes, you know, even the companies say that, you know, because of, you know, trying to maintain their cash flow for GST payments and everything. So they say that, you know, bill me in the second half or bill me in the first half or during the September or something. So that kind of question. But from execution point of view, there was a little bit, you know, a hurdle because of the fuel, or you can say the gas for the galvanizing and all those that we had faced a little bit.
Okay, sir. And like the future plan to expand the capacity, is there any plan? And like, will the company diluting the equity or like taking the debt? Because the debt also has, you know, the common cost has increased very much this year, like 400% as per I have done the research.
Okay. See, first of all, the future plan, as I already explained, we might get into a little bit backward integration, like rolling mills or something, which is still, I mean, at a discussion stage internally. As far as the debt is concerned, if you see, long-term debt has not increased. It's only short-term because the top line has increased, working capital requirements have increased, and to you know, to stock up because of the geopolitical condition, we have taken limits so that we can stock up the stock. That was the reason because of which that, you know, the cost to maintain that, you know, profitability and everything, we have stocked up and we have taken working capital. But as far as expansion is concerned, I mean, if you look at long-term debt to equity is way low compared to any other competitors in the industry.
And about the plan, sir, would you like to enlighten us?
Plan about the expansion, as I told you, we might get into rolling mills or something, which is a backward integration where it will be a raw metal for the existing products and everything. So we might get into that, but still it is at a nascent stage.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants with questions may please enter star and one on your touchtone telephones. Our next question is from the line of Shio from Tech Panda Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna to all of you, sir. So my first question is that we heard that we are sponsoring the cricket team. Who is spending that money? Is the promoter, Mr. Patel, is spending that money?
Yeah, see, we are not sponsoring the team. We have taken an associate sponsorship by which, you know, our name will be on their helmets and everything. That is clearly mentioned. And this is directly because it is the brand which is getting sponsored, that KP Group is being getting sponsored. It's not any one company. So the brand sponsorship and everything is directly, you know, expensed out by the promoter himself because he is the owner of the brand. He is the owner of the KP Group brand.
Sure. So Mr. Patel is spending that money, right? Okay, sir. Other question is, sir, I know that we are a growing company, but any plan to make this company as a debt-free company and by when?
See, you need to understand that, making it a debt-free, we are at an expansion. We are at a growing phase. Okay. Now, as we know that, you know, debt is, you know, very easily available and it is compared to less costlier compared to equity. So for becoming debt free, I need to dilute and also at present we are not because we are growing substantially. We have good credibility in the market. We get debt easily. So I would not at present do anything that is, you know, if there are plans of getting into that, we'll let you know as and when we decide on. At present, there is no such plan of becoming debt free. We are growing very fast and we need capital so that we can expand ourselves, take more market share in this kind of a product that we are offering.
Okay, sir. Good luck, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna Yoga from Family Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, first of all, congrats for the great set of numbers. Sir, is there some more clarification on the bidding pipeline? You said 3,000 is the pipeline. So what is our success winning ratio in that, sir?
You are saying the pipeline that tenders with us. As I told you, success ratio depends upon a lot of factors. But at present, we have around 60 to 70% of success ratio in our tender business.
Okay. So can you just give me percentage terms in which sector we have more? Is it a PV or is it more solar?
See, different sectors have different, requirements. Like at present, we are more inclined toward power and transmission. Okay. Then if you see, second in line will be the telecommunication this year. And then comes roads and highways and everything.
Okay. Just to understand because of the margin structure. So, sir, also in the H2, you have given a very good EBITDA margin. So, are we going, I know you mentioned that 16 to 20. So, it's also depend upon the product mix. So the reason for asking because some products are having higher margin and some are having the lower margin, right? So in this current order book, because we are have more for the BSNL, so can we expect a good amount of margin in the FY27 since we have a good margin lucrative order book?
See, as I told you, the margin depends upon the product mix, and as you are right that that majority of the order with this year getting executed is the BSNL, which is the biggest order.
Yeah.
We try to maintain our margin. We try to maintain, because if you see, our margin is one of the healthiest margin in the industry, and because of various customization, because of various economies of scale that we achieve, because of various product diversification that we have done. So all these factors help me to maintain the margin. As far as I told you, the range, we'll try to maintain the range of 16% to 20%, what we have been done historically also.
Okay. Got it, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shriram Shah from KPK Engineering. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, your line is unmuted. Please ask your question. As there is no response from this line, we'll move on to the next question. It's a follow-up from the line of Pankaj from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have just two follow-up questions. One was on the debt, which largely you have answered. What I understood is that you have taken working capital limits, and I assume these are all from banks and not from venture debt kind of setups. So that is question number one.
Yes, I'll answer one by one. So we don't take any high-cost debt. My average cost of borrowing will be somewhere into 8.5 to 9%. So I don't take any high-cost debt. I don't take from any venture capitalists. We have a very good credibility. We have a rating of A category. So all the banks are very keen to fund us, to fund our working capital. Yeah, second question.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect, yeah. Thank you. Second, you just clarified to somebody that cash equivalents, you have done some kind of reclassification. Can you please explain that? And you mentioned that as per Ind AS, you had to do that. So can you just put a little more color on that?
So cash equivalent, earlier we used to classify all the MTs and everything into cash and cash flow. That is the current assets. Okay. Now what the classification has been done is that any FDs which are more than 1 year, it will not be part of the current asset. It goes into other financial assets in the fixed asset part. So that's why the bifurcation that you are seeing. I hope that understand, right? Because it's a long-term FD, so it has to be bifurcated into other fixed assets.
Okay, if I have to look into my equivalent of FY25 numbers, so what would that number would be for FY26?
See, if you look at other financial assets in my balance sheet, which is around 59, right? Just something, I'll just... So the other financial asset, which is at around 59 crores, which was earlier also, the same bifurcation has been done in FY25. It is around 52 crores. So same amount of FDs were there earlier also. We have reassessed the classification in the previous year in this financials also.
Okay, so effectively the numbers which are coming as part of the outcome from cash flow is the real number, right? So it's not a classification issue. Net we actually generated 9-odd crores in this financial year, right?
Cash flow, just a second. Cash flow, I think we have generated more than that. Cash flow from operations, if you're...
It's 155. From operations, it's
155. It did not have impact in the cash flow, because anyway, it isn't part of an operation which is there. See, balance sheet has a classification of more than 1 year and everything. Cash flow doesn't have that classification.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinay from Niche Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hello.
Sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So this other current liabilities in the balance sheet, which is a big part of our balance sheet, a source of funding. Can you please comment on the broad composition of the same? And also, like the working capital days, like can you please clarify on the normalized working capital in terms of inventory days, debtor days, and credit days going ahead? Thank you.
Okay. So other current liabilities, if you see, it's mostly discounting facilities on trades and everything, which is included. It's a kind of a working capital, extended arm of working capital that we take, and traders and everything, they go and get their bills discounted for a period and we pay that. So the trades platform, the human exchange and everything are part of this. The second question was on the
working capital.
Working capital,
yeah.
Cycle or the day.
Bill.
Working capital is only the There is improvement in the debtors working capital days. It's only the inventory, as I told you. The inventory has been, we have stocked up inventory because of the geopolitical conditions. So we have utilized all our working capital limits so that we can stock up inventory so that my operation should not hamper. So that is, and my profitability should not hamper. So that's the reason. If you see, the inventory days have increased substantially. The others have improved compared to previous.
No, that's
and the cash conversion cycle is around 150 days, which is as per the industry, you have two cycles, 2 to 3, 2.5 cycles in such case.
Okay, 150. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Surya from CFM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. So I wanted to understand certain things like what is that one thing that is unique in KPGL that is not in other manufacturing companies? Like what is the competitive advantage we have over this?
So the USP of my company, KPG Engineering, as I told you, it's the product diversification, is the different segment that we cater to. I have different product, different segments. This gives me an upper hand compared to. So if you look at other companies, either they are into telecommunication towers or they are into evacuation towers, they are pure player of, you can say that they sell the, they go on tonnage and everything. We don't go. We do customization. We do product diversification. And that is the plus point, and that is the plus point because of which we have this strong margin that we are, we have in this financial year also.
Okay, understood. And sir, is there any plans to venture into more of niche power equipment segment? Like there's been a huge demand in the because of data centers and all of niche power equipment. So what are the plans going forward for that?
Yeah, as I told you, in the future segment, we are also into containers. So it will battery containers which are required for the data centers. So we have kept our eye on these kind of segments which are also coming up. And we'll surely look that any kind of product requirement over there, we'll get into that and we'll supply those kind of products also. So we have that in plan.
Got it. And one more thing from my end, the 3,000 crores pipeline, so when is it expected to close? Like when can we expect orders from that?
These are tenders that we are bidding all across different segments and sectors. So this depends upon by when, whether it's government institution, whether it's individual private companies, who will close the tenders. But year on year, if you see that, whenever we come for this year, we have 1,800, throughout the year, we'll get an order book, which will be part for this year and then will be part again for the next year. So we build up our order in hand through these pipelines. So most of them will come this year, which will be executed partly this year and partly next year.
Got it. And so one thing is there that the debt has substantially increased compared to revenue. Like the revenue has increased around 80% and the debt has increased 4x, the interest cost. So I assume this is due to the inventory buildup. I understand that as well.
Yes.
But can we expect this to go down going forward, or is this the new normal compared to the revenue?
Actually, because of the geopolitical condition, inventory has been piled up. Once we have this condition smoothened, automatically, we will not start piling up. Because, for me, biggest concern is the uncertainty. It is not. Because we have credibility, we get debt in the market. In absolute term, it will be very less compared to the top line growth. But I can understand in percentage term, it is bigger. But that is required because this is the need of the hour that I need to stock up the inventory. Because I don't want any disruption in my execution or the, manufacturing facility.
Understood. So we can expect it to go below compared to revenue
Going forward, proportionately, your stock will automatically, as the condition smoothens, the geopolitical issues get resolved, will surely, keep lower stock compared to what percentage at present we are at.
Understood. And the other income has also, in H2, the other income has reduced from 4 crores to 0. So, what can we expect in the next financial year for this, FY27?
See, last year, if you see, we had an IPO fund, and because of which we had every interest of those IPO. That was utilized for the capex purpose, and that's why you see the every interest has reduced what it was earlier.
Okay, understood. Thanks for answering my question. All the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. यस सर, मेरा एक सवाल है, अभी केपीजीएल में 2 साल हो गए, तो अभी क्या नेक्स्ट आइडिया है कि एसएमई से मेन बोर्ड में कब आने वाले हो? मतलब
अभी मेन बोर्ड का जो कंडीशंस है, वंस अगर वो हमारे कंडीशंस फुलफिल हो जाते हैं तो हम लोग उसको मेन बोर्ड लेके जाएंगे। आप हमारी बाकी कंपनियों को भी देख चुके हैं कि जैसे केपी एनर्जी हो, केपीआई, जब एसएमई में आए उसके बाद जैसी कंडीशन कंप्लीट हो गई, जो सेबी का क्राइटेरिया है, वो क्राइटेरिया कंप्लीट होते ही हम उसको मेन बोर्ड लेके जाएंगे।
ठीक है सर, वो क्राइटेरिया है 2 साल का, वो 2 साल हो गए ना इसके लिए। ठीक है सर।
नहीं नहीं, आई थिंक क्राइटेरिया चेक करना पड़ेगा, मुझे लगता है वो 3 साल का क्राइटेरिया।
ओके, थैंक यू, थैंक यू।
थैंक यू। द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ हर्षद जैन, इंडिविजुअल इन्वेस्टर, प्लीज गो अहेड।
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations for the good set of numbers. I just want to know that since you mentioned that you have a lot of inventory piled up, so how are the things looking in the first half of the current financial year, like for 2 months, April and May? Is this inventory moving out or is it still stuck?
See, inventory is not something which I can assure you. It is not a inventory which is kind of off the shelf. It might get stale or something. So it is a steel and everything. We might utilize it this quarter, next quarter. As I told you, my major concern is the fuel. Fuel that is required to power the galvanizing plant, that is required for the machinery and everything, that is more important because of the geopolitical relation. As we are aware, that fuel is a big concern. So from that point of view, we will try to maintain good execution. But also, I mean, it depends upon the conditions around the factors which are, impacting the manufacturing facility that are to be seen at the same time. Because
okay,
also, you know, the industry which we are going to supply or the customers, they might also say that, please hold on to my order for some time or something because there might be some disruption at his end also. So all these factors have to be taken into consideration.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manak Shah. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Actually, our order book is of rupees 1,800 crores as shown in PPT uploaded by you as on 31st March 2026. And the order we received as on 1st May 2026 is of 500 crores. So, as per me, the total order book is of 2,300 crores as on today. And you just answered one guy that our order book of 1,800 crores includes these 500 crores. Then can you please clarify on this?
There are various stages of orders. Like, you know, when we win the order, we might calculate that order. But after that, there is an LOA which we receive after some time, letter of award and everything. So sometimes you win the tender, sometimes you get the LOA later on. So till we don't get the LOA, we don't mention the BSE that we have received the order. But in our PPT, we take that these are the orders which have already won. It's only the process that has to be completed. From that point of view, there will be a little bit, what we say, differences between what you are thinking and what it is being shown in the PPT.
Okay. Yeah, got. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sparsh Akar from Ikamya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. So my follow-up question is that how much of the 1,800 crore order book is internal versus external, like internal as in the KP Group orders?
Yeah. So 22 to 23% is internal and rest all is external. Majority is the BSNL, transmission, BSNL, what we say, telecommunication towers.
Understood. And right now our capacity utilization is around, 30% or something? As you mentioned,
yeah,
30, the
Yes, 30 to 34% is my present capacity.
Understood. So, given the large order book we have, can I get an idea, approximate idea of what the capacity utilization is going to look like in FY27?
If I look at this order book, okay, we might go up to 40, 55, 60% this year with the growth.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Just a follow-up question, a curious question. I mean, in such businesses, why do we have such large, let's say, capex when our utilization is low already? I mean, we can do the capex and increase the capacity utilization a little later on as well, when we see the demand being forecasted in such a situation.
See, you have to understand that. Yeah, I understand. That's the question, right? Why we did such a big capex? Okay.
Yes, beforehand. I mean, definitely they're going to grow later.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go a little back, we did capex from what? From our IPO. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was biggest IPO in the history of entire BSE SME. Till date, it is 190 crores. We did IPO okay. From the point of view that we have to go. I cannot come after 2 years that, you know, again, I will come up with some funds or something. I will come up with an IPO or something. So when we do equity infusion or we do capex through equity fundraising, at that time, you have to take a long-term vision because even the IPO, the investors will not see that why you are taking for 1 or 2 years. After that, what you will do? So you have to keep in mind that when we look at it at a horizon of 4 to 5 years, after that, you know, again, we'll look at it. But at the same time, small capex also, if it is required some diversification, we do that. But whenever an equity infusion is done, and it is done with a long-term vision, it's not with a short-term vision. So that is all.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Surya from CFM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. So you were talking about something related to data centers. So like, can you please elaborate, like, what is the vision for KP Green in terms of data centers and all?
See, data center is, I can say it's the talk of the town. Data center requires power and everything. Green power is preferential by data centers. And for that, our group companies, KP High Green Energy Limited is also in discussion. KP Energy is also in discussion. Now, whatever the material requirement for data centers, we are getting into that also for KP Green Engineering. Just like, you know, containers for battery cells and everything. So all those, if we get into any particular segment, we want to see that we give end-to-end solution for the segment, anything that is required. So just like if I give an example, renewable energy. When we got into renewable energy, we provide MMS structures, we provide, evacuation towers, we provide, we build substations. So all this end-to-end solution is provided. So that's why we, whenever we look at a segment, we look at that I can give the maximum product for the segment and then only I can add value and I can demand a better margin.
Okay, fair enough. And so can you please start reporting quarterly numbers from this financial year? It will be very helpful for us to understand about the business.
See, as per SEBI guidelines or the BSE SME guidelines, we will have to do half yearly. But I mean, we have, thought, but I think shortly we'll go into main board. So I think we'll start getting that also, not an issue. But half yearly is something which is compulsory, we do that.
Okay, right. And so one more thing is there, you mentioned that the utilization might range from 45 to 60% this year. So next year, I assume that would be around 60 to 80%. So we will require next leg of big capex like previously done from a 4x capacity, like a from 1 lakh metric ton to 4 lakh metric ton.
Yeah, see, utilization this time was around 30-odd%, 30 to 30. Next year, for this financial year, we will have approximately 50 to 60%. Then next one more year. Suppose that, and in the meantime, we are adding small capacity wherever we see there's some diversification, then we will also add to the capacity. So nevertheless, I mean, as we go forward, we will take into consideration what is the additional business that might come and accordingly we'll, adjust our quota capacity that we can.
Okay, thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm sorry for joining the call late, but I just have one question. We have already clocked 20% EBITDA margins for FY26. Do you think this will be a sustainable number going ahead as well, despite all the cost pressure increases that we might be seeing due to war and other reasons?
Yeah. So Pratik, I already said in my answer also that the margin is in the range of 16 to 20%. We'll try to maintain that margin. But looking at the situations, there might be other shocks which we have to, bear going forward. Fuel cost, availability cost and everything. So we will try to maintain, but we cannot assure that, whether the 20 will be maintained. But the range is something that we try to maintain. And this is because the diversification of the products that we do, different segments that we cater to.
Right. And usually raw material costs are a complete pass-through for you, right? You completely pass them on.
See, in a bigger contract and everything, clear-cut raw material condition is that if there is any escalation more than 5%, it is passed on to the customer. In other contracts where we don't have, we already have, you know, the piled up the inventories, or we have taken inventory on our books so that we don't have hit on the margins. So we take all kind of steps, or we hedge from all different ways so that, you know, we don't get a hit on the margin.
All right. And just a suggestion, just as, you know, the previous participant said that if from this year, this financial year itself, if we can go to quarterly financial results, that'd be really helpful, because 6 months is a long time. And that will be really nice for us to, you know, prepare investors also for our listing, for main board listing. So if that can happen by FY 2027, that will be really helpful, sir.
Yeah. See, we'll look at the various compliance and everything, whether we can do or not, and we'll surely take your suggestion, and we'll discuss this in the board also.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. I would like to thank to all the participants for their participation in this call. We hope that our reply were to your satisfaction, and I would look forward to have your and a continued support and trust in the company and company's operation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Share India Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.